Good morning. All right, just give me 1 second to get set up here. And thanks again for inviting me to join you for worship today. So my name is Chris Lam, and I am one of the pastors at Richmond Pacific Grace. I joined the church there back in 2016, and I was on staff for about 2 years until the end of August this past year, actually, in 2018. I made a request to the senior pastor and to the board that I want to be a bivocational pastor. And so what that meant was I would have two different quote-unquote jobs. Okay, during the week, I would be teaching, and then I would still be taking on the responsibilities of a pastor and overseeing children ministry and working with families at the Richmond Pacific Grace. And so it's been an exciting journey. My wife, Sabrina, in the nursery room there, and my two sons, Aiden and Oliver. Aiden is turning three this coming Saturday, and then Oliver is 9 months old. And together as a family, we've been just walking through this journey, letting the Lord guide us and learning how to follow him faithfully. And so when Pastor Bill invited me to come and share God's word with you today, on Palm Sunday, Lord, I just felt it's such a good opportunity for me to get to know some of the brothers and sisters in Christ that I haven't had the opportunity to meet yet. And so I'm very excited and very happy and very honored to be here today. And I just pray that God will bring clarity to his word. And if there are anything that I say today, or if there's anything I say today, that it maybe it didn't come out clearly, feel free to approach me, and then I'll love to have a conversation about it. Or you can try to contact me through Pastor Bill. Clicker. So today is Palm Sunday. I'm not sure how many of you are aware what Palm Sunday means, but that's actually what we're here to look at today. Palm Sunday is actually one of a really, really significant day. A very significant day for us, for Christians, for Christ followers. Why? Because this was the day when Jesus entered Jerusalem. When Jesus began his journey to the cross. Now, it sounds like a cause for celebration, right? It should be such a joyous occasion. In fact, in the scripture, if we look at the Palm Sunday passages, such as Matthew chapter 21, Mark chapter 11, Luke chapter 19, or John chapter 12, we see that the people were welcoming Jesus as if he was king. They were laying down either clothing or branches, palm branches. They were giving him a royal welcome. So it sounds like it's a cause for celebration. And for us, wow, it's Palm Sunday. It's great. But at the same time, as I was reading through the scripture and preparing for our time together this week, I realized that there's more to what Jesus was doing and what the scripture is trying to tell us than just to see that, you know what, this is a celebration. In fact, I think it's actually a reminder, a very solemn reminder about just how wrong we often get about who God really is, about who Jesus really is. And as we go through our passage today, through Luke, I hope that we can understand that the triumphal entry isn't what we think it is, or isn't what we often understand it to be, or isn't what it often is portrayed as. We celebrate this once a year, but hopefully, I pray that after our time together this year, that perhaps God will reveal something new to you. Now, this is a quote that I wanted to start us off with. It's a quote by John Piper. And he said that if your enthusiasm is for a Jesus that doesn't exist, your enthusiasm is no honor to the real Jesus. if your enthusiasm is for a Jesus that doesn't exist, your enthusiasm is no honor to the real Jesus. You see, that's the two sides of Palm Sunday that we see. If we look at the passages about the triumphal entry, we see people hailing Jesus as king, welcoming him into Jerusalem. But they were getting it wrong. They were welcoming a king that they wanted to rescue them from the Roman Empire. A strong military king. A political king. Someone who could bring judgment to their enemies. But what Jesus was showing them, and as we read through the Bible, is that that's not what he was here to do. Not right now, at least. Not in our passage. And so for the people, they were enthusiastic about a Jesus, about a Messiah, that wasn't who Jesus really was. And therefore, the enthusiasm died down. And a week later, we know Jesus ends up on the cross. The people, the same people that hailed him as king, put him on the cross because they had a misguided sense of who he is. And so their expectations didn't align with reality. And so as we look at our passage today in Luke, I'm hoping that we can understand that, you know what? Jesus is showing us something new. Jesus is showing us something that perhaps we haven't thought about. And Jesus is challenging us to follow him in the way that he has demonstrated through his entry to Jerusalem. And so our goal for today, right, is to look at Luke. And you know what? Luke is just such a special guy. We have four different books of the gospel, right? Gospel books in the Bible. And each one has a unique focus, actually. Each one is written with a unique purpose. And for Luke, he never actually met Jesus. He was a Gentile that was actually writing this gospel to the Gentiles. He was speaking to his fellow Gentiles. He was a Greek speaking to the Greeks. He was trying to show them who Jesus is and what Jesus is here to do. And what a beautiful place to look for us today who don't get to see Jesus face to face, physically, to also get this message and understand who he is and how we can follow him. So our goal today, hopefully by going through our passage, we will know the implications on discipleship. And that will challenge you to follow him faithfully. And that you will understand that there's a cost for being a true follower of Jesus. And hopefully we can establish that today and get there together. So again, this is our passage for today. And I put it in ESV, but you know, you're welcome to read it through your NIV Bibles, no problem. It's God's word, right? So when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. And they went on to another village. What an interesting encounter, right? When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. I'm just trying to imagine what must have been going through Jesus' mind. When the days drew near for him to be taken up. We're talking about Jesus knowing that when he walks into Jerusalem, when he makes that journey, he's not just making his way into the holy city. He is making his way to the cross. He knows that the plan is for him to sacrifice his life so that we, his people, can be saved. He knew he was going towards his death. And so, I don't know if you understand the significance, if you realize the significance of what's being said in this one verse, one short verse. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. It's such an unfavorable outcome, isn't it? He is walking towards Jerusalem, towards his death. Knowing this, he sets his face to go towards there. And just even at this point, looking at what Jesus did, there are some really important implications on discipleship. Can you see Jesus' resolve? His dedication, his determination, his commitment? He knew the cost was high. He knew the outcome would be unfavorable, but he chose to commit to it, to keep going, because it was God's plan for him. That was his mission. That was his calling. And knowing this, having clarity in this, Jesus chose to keep going. He could have done it any different ways, right? I mean, there are plenty of ways he could have chosen to save us. But no, Jesus knew that the plan was for him to show us how much he loved us. And his plan, knowing that being on the cross, dying, and then rising on the third day, that's what will set us free. And so he was determined. He was determined to go and do this. So we pause here for a moment and think about what this means for us as we follow Jesus. What can we learn from simply him making a decision to go towards his certain death? Well, in the Bible, we're told that if any of us want to follow Jesus, we actually need to renounce all that we have. It's our only way to be his disciple. Jesus said this, "Therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." So as Christ followers, as people who are called to follow him, what is Jesus asking us to do? How is he showing us that he's done this? He walks towards Jerusalem. He sets his face there knowing the outcome. Can we honestly say that we can do the same? What is Jesus calling you to do? Are there obstacles, challenges, people perhaps that are stopping you? Do you truly understand what his calling for you is? You see, Jesus was able to be like to have the determination, the resolve, the commitment to go towards Jerusalem because he knew. He knew his calling. He was clear about it. He knew that was his mission. And so he was able to commit to it. Do you know your mission? Do you know your calling? What is God calling you to do? Are you able to set your face towards where God is taking you, asking you to go? Any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. When Jesus asks you to follow him, that is a really, really, really loaded invitation. It's hard. There's a cost to it. I don't know how many of you here had the opportunity to speak to your pastor, Pastor Bill. Perhaps to ask him, hey, you know what, Pastor Bill? You've committed yourself to serving Jesus through the church, but at what cost? What was your cost for following Jesus? What was your cost for being here today to proclaim that you're a Christ follower? Have you renounced what Jesus has called you to renounce in order to be his disciple? And that, I think, it's a really important reflection question that we should always ask ourselves. Because until we're certain that we are walking towards where God is guiding us, I don't think we can truly say that we're Christ followers. It's a huge responsibility. It's a great privilege. And don't get me wrong, salvation is a gift. It's by grace, through faith in Jesus. But to be a true follower, to be really following after his footsteps, we got to do what Jesus was doing. He was setting his face towards Jerusalem, knowing the outcome. Are you setting your face towards your Jerusalem, knowing the outcome of his calling for you? In verse 52 to 53, we see that he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him. Verse 53. The people did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. Jesus faced rejections. Why did he face rejection here? Was it because the Samaritans hated the Jews and Jesus was a Jew? Was that the reason? Or perhaps they've heard of this Jesus character, this Jesus person, that he was doing all these miracles and they have heard of the claims about him. Maybe they thought that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem to reign as king. And they were thinking of a great military leader. And so they were just like, you know what, this is just going to be another guy that might oppress us. Perhaps that's the reason. I can't say for certain or with certainty what the reason was. But what we do see here is that Jesus is already being rejected. Jesus is already being rejected. And again, what are the implications of discipleship then from this, just this little bit that we see? Why is this significant that Jesus was rejected as he journeyed towards Jerusalem, ready to enter? This is significant for us because we shouldn't be surprised that as Christ followers, we will face rejections too. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, we see that, "Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you." Hate is a really strong word, but if you really think about it, look at everything that's going on around the world. We have pastors in China preaching the gospel, and what's happening to them there? They're being persecuted. What about Christians around the world in countries that are a little bit more politically unstable, and they're being persecuted? They're being killed for their faith. And locally, we have pastors facing accusations, facing different problems and challenges within the local church. We have Christ followers, perhaps, feeling out of place at their workplaces, or they feel their morality or their faith challenged as they go about their everyday lives. Or maybe we see it in mainstream media. Movies, TV shows, music, messages that come across the challenges are our beliefs. Jesus faced rejections. So when we choose to be Christ followers, we're saying that, you know what, Jesus, we know that you faced rejections and we will too. And we know that if we follow you, we'll face rejections for sure. And are we able to make that commitment? Are we able to really make that commitment? To have the resolve to just stick through and do what God commands us to do and follow in Jesus' footsteps, to walk the way that he has.
1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 14. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Are you prepared to be hated, to be insulted, to be viewed as an outcast for following Jesus? Do you have the resolve to keep following him despite these things around you? This is what discipleship means, eh? To overcome these challenges as they come up for us, to ask these questions of ourselves. To reflect on how we can face rejections today. And in our passage, we saw what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? At the end there, verse 56, Jesus just went on to another village. He kept going. Are you able to keep going? When you face opposition to your faith, are you able to just keep going? You know, I love watching movies. I love watching superhero movies, and I've actually sat together with my wife and did a whole marathon for all the Avengers movies, like the Marvel movies. And I love superhero movies because I love the fact that they always face these huge challenges, but yet they somehow have the determination to kind of stick to what they know, to fight for justice. And in the end of these movies, they usually overcome these challenges, obviously with the exception of Infinity War, where Thanos seems to have won. But superheroes, people that I know a lot of people look up to, they're able to overcome these challenges. These are fictional characters, right? But we have the greatest hero of all. We have Jesus to look to. And in the Bible, we see how he's walked on this earth, what he has taught, how he faced challenges as a full human. We know he understands the struggles that we're going through, unlike fictional characters. And yet we see him succeeding. Now, I'm not saying that we can all be exactly like Jesus because he succeeded, we will on our own. No, we can't. The only way we can face rejections today is if we rely on Jesus, follow his example, and the trust in the Holy Spirit to be there guiding us. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit as the helper, right? After Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit is with us, helping us understand his word, understanding his examples, helping us make moral choices, making choices that honors God, revealing to us what God's will is, helping us bind this community together to be a body of Christ, to shine light in our world, to proclaim God's good news. So in order for us to face rejections, we have to look to Jesus. And for me, that's why Palm Sunday is so significant. We see Jesus entering Jerusalem as king, being recognized as such. But yet, moments later, they reject him. They persecute him. They crucify him. And in our passage today from chapter 9, we see snippets of that. We see a whole village saying, hey, no, we don't want to welcome him. No. We get a little foretaste of what it's like for Jesus when he makes his way finally into Jerusalem. The point is, Jesus is already being rejected as he was making his way. Even in Luke chapter 9, in our passage today. And as his followers, we know and we should expect that we will face rejections today too. And this is a question we should be asking ourselves. being a Christian is not just some warm, fuzzy feeling, oh, we're part of a community now. It's great. We got people supporting us. But supporting you through what? Right? Through the cost of following Christ. Through the challenges that you will face from following him. From following in his footsteps. So how should we face rejections today? Verse 54 to 56. And when his disciples James and John saw it, it being the rejection, they said, Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them. Think for a moment what James and John are saying here. When James and John saw that Jesus was being rejected, that the people did not receive him, they said, hey, Jesus, hey, Lord, want us to call fire down from heaven? Like, they are literally asking Jesus to give them permission to bring judgment upon these people. We will smite down our enemies. If they're not with us, then they're against us. That was the reality that his disciples had in mind. They perceived Jesus as king. They were walking with Jesus, seeing his miracles, listening to his teachings, following him day in, day out, day and night, praying with him, learning from him. And yet, even at this point, for them, they see Jesus as someone who's bringing judgment as he journeys towards Jerusalem. For his close followers, his disciples, his apostles, when they face rejection, they ask Jesus, do you want me to smite them down? I'll bring fire down from heaven. It'll be ultimate victory for us. We'll bring judgment. That was the kind of king that they were thinking, that they had in mind. And you know what? I can understand why they would. Because at the time, the Jewish people were under the tyranny of the Roman Empire. There were religious persecutions, there was corruption, there were exploitations, heavy taxes. It was just a tough time for them to be Jews. Their faith and their people, their being, they were being under attack. And so not only did the disciples feel that way, the reality is when the people were gathering in Jerusalem, when they saw Jesus coming, the reason why they were hailing Jesus as king, saying all these things that we see in the slide here from all the different accounts of the triumphant entry, is because they wanted a king to rescue them. In fact, the phrase Hosanna literally means save us. They were hailing the entry of a king who will bring them freedom, who they thought would overthrow maybe Rome, that Jesus would be a powerful, mighty king, that he would bring judgment to God's enemies, to the Jewish people's enemies. And so when they were throwing clothes down, when they were waving branches, palm branches, when they were welcoming Jesus as king, they were welcoming a different king than who Jesus came to be. Jesus didn't come to be a political or military leader. He didn't enter Jerusalem at this point to bring judgment to the people. And we saw that in our passage today in Luke chapter 9, verse 54 to 55. When his disciples saw rejections, they tried to call fire down from heaven to bring judgment to their enemies. But Jesus rebuked them. Why? Because Jesus was telling them that I'm not here right now to bring judgment to them. And I think it's really important to get that clarified. Because Palm Sunday is not about Jesus coming to bring judgment to them. Jesus is coming here to save his people. He's giving up his life on the cross. And he's going to have victory over death by rising again. So that it would free us from the power and the consequences of sin. That was his mission. He is going towards Jerusalem, journeying to the cross, following God's plan faithfully so that he will bring salvation, that he will bring redemption when Jesus comes again, his second coming. That's when he'll come back to judge. And so Jesus rebuked James and John. We're not going to call fire down from heaven to destroy these people. Because Jesus knew he was journeying to the cross in order to save these people. He was bringing redemption, not judgment. He was bringing salvation, not punishment. By rebuking his disciples in our passage today, he is showing us his great love. These are people who just rejected him. And yet he says, no, we're not going to call fire down to destroy them. We're not going to call fire down to destroy them. And you know, we're now hit with this reality. The reality that Jesus really is the Savior King. That he's coming to be a spiritual leader. So Palm Sunday is about Jesus entering Jerusalem as the spiritual leader. Not a mighty military political leader. He's not overturning governments. He is not destroying the people riding in on a horse, you know, like a scene from, I don't know, the Return of the Kings from Lord of the Rings or something. It's not some epic battle that he's about to have. Yes, there were a lot of Jews gathered around Jerusalem at the time because they were making a pilgrimage towards Jerusalem for Passover. And yes, there was a lot of Roman soldiers in town as well because they were afraid of riots because the Jewish people were kind of unstable. And around a at the time and around a major holiday like that, with such a big gathering, there could be revolts and fights, things that could break out, and they were afraid of political unrest. So Jesus riding in as king must have been such an insane thing to see, because you have all these people hailing him as king, and you have these Roman soldiers, and they're just like, is everything going to be okay? But again, Jesus is going in as a spiritual leader. He's not in to overthrow the Roman Empire, not in the sense that they were thinking about. Jesus was going in to save. And so again, we're hit with that reality. The reality that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. He is our Prince of Peace. He's not our God of war. He didn't come on Palm Sunday to bring war and judgment. And so for us today, we have to think about what this means for us when we follow Jesus. What should our discipleship process be like with that reality in mind? When we do Bible studies, when we worship at the church, when we do missions, are we doing this in a way to bring judgment to the world? Or are we doing this in a way to reflect God's love to the world? Are we equipping ourselves with God's word just so that we can win arguments and show people that God is real in that way? Or are we equipping ourselves with God's word so that we can show people God's love, to show them the real Jesus? What would the discipleship process be like with this reality in mind? As Mennonite brethren, brothers and sisters, we're called to love and not resistance. This is from our confession of faith. We seek to be agents of reconciliation in all relationships, to practice love of enemies as taught by Christ, to be peacemakers in all situations, alleviating suffering, reducing strife, and promoting justice are ways of demonstrating Christ's love. We are an MB church. This is who we should be. So in our discipleship process, are we equipping ourselves to bring Christ's love to the world? Or are we equipping ourselves so that we can, you know, serve in the church, have recognition, knowing that, see, I can do this and this and that. I'm involved in these ways. We have to examine our motivations. When Jesus, in our passage today, was making his way to Jerusalem, he wasn't there to bring judgment. His motivation was to bring salvation, to show love. But his disciples didn't see it as that. And the people didn't either. And so Jesus had to correct them. Are we equipping ourselves today for the right reasons? Are we serving in the church for the right reasons? Are we truly following Jesus' footstep and his teachings? Or are we fantasizing about a Jesus that doesn't exist? If we don't come to terms with who Jesus really is, and if we don't really pursue God and understand who he is, we are not able to bring the gospel, the good news, to people who still need to hear it. They will see an incomplete Jesus. They will see an incomplete Jesus. And so, brothers and sisters, I encourage you that as you continue your day today through Palm Sunday, and as we approach Easter, think about what Jesus is really doing through this. Think about why this is such a significant day or such a significant time for all of us. Think about what it means for discipleship for you. There is a cost, but are you willing to pay it? It's going to be hard, but will you be able to commit to it? Let's pray.